Hello, I'm Dr. John Davis, and I'm producing a series of podcasts for my psychology students and also for naturopathic medical patients and anybody else who wants to listen. I suggest you subscribe to it since it's free, and I promise to broaden your understanding of why people do what they do. All right, let's talk today about why people misthink, why people think the way they do, and why they go wrong in their thinking. This is an interesting topic because what do you think all great men and women have in common? Well, it's hard to say because there are so many good and bad people who become so-called great people. They become leaders of their countries and that sort of thing. The one thing that occurs to me that they have in common is that they all believe they are right. They may not all be right, but they all believe that they are right. Well, here's the topic of this particular podcast. Why do we believe so much that we are right, and how does our thinking go so wrong sometimes? There are lots of ways that thinking goes wrong, and I always include as a final exam question on my in my course, name some of the ways that thinking goes wrong and explain them. And some of these ways we can list right now. I'm going to talk about one of them in particular on this podcast, but I'll go ahead and list a few for you at this time. You'll be able to tell from the names of them what some of them mean, but I'll explain them later. One is called the hindsight bias. A second is the confirmation bias. The hindsight bias means that we simply think that we would have already known something that we actually would not have. The confirmation bias means that we look for information that confirms what we already believe. So it's that kind of thing that I'm going to be talking about here. There are a couple of others that I'll name but not explain. We're going to talk about the representativeness heuristic. Don't let the term scare you. It's easy to understand. The availability heuristic, that is why we're afraid of flying when we probably should not be. We're going to talk about overconfidence. We're going to talk about framing, which is the politicians call spin. We're going to talk about belief perseverance phenomenon and several other ways that thinking can go wrong. All right. Well, let's get into it. Perhaps you've seen some of the recent TV shows that indicate that the field of psychology has some information that allows you to tell when people are lying. This is interesting and true to some extent, but it's not totally accurate. You can have some indicators that people are lying, but the surety that those people on the television shows show is not there. But at any rate, there are some indicators, and psychology does have some things to say about that field. So the TV shows are fine. It's entertainment, and that's good. Now, a more interesting problem to me, though, is how do you tell when somebody's telling the truth as they believe it, but they're wrong? You hear people that are so very convinced that what they're saying is correct, and yet it turns out they are not correct. Or at least other very intelligent people have an opposite opinion about the very same thing. So how often do we come to believe things that are wrong? Pretty often, apparently. There's not any real data on this, but we know several ways that it happens. I've just named some of those, and one of them is that we tend to be overconfident. Let me ask you a few questions concerning some common sense kind of items and see if you know the answer to these questions. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and if you are at a place where you can write down the answer and make a choice between two things here, then write it down. And also, after I ask you the question, I'm going to ask you how confident you are in your answer, and I want you to put a percentage. I'll give you an example. The first question is, which of the following are the more frequent causes of death in the United States per 100,000? accidents or strokes. So which do you think is the more frequent cause of death? Accidents or strokes? And then the second part is write down a percent certain that you are. Now, it needs to be more than 50%, because if you're less than 50% sure, you should have put the other answer. So something above 50% certain of your answer. If you're out walking and listening to this on your iPod, then just make a ballpark estimate and kind of keep it in mind and recall which answer that you chose, accidents or strokes. Second question, what is the more frequent cause of death of these two things, electrocution or asthma? All right, make your choice. And then put down a percent certainty of your answer. How certain are you? Third question, what's the more frequent cause of death, motor vehicle accidents or colorectal cancer? And how sure are you of your answer? Next, which of these countries has the largest population? Morocco or Saudi Arabia? And how sure are you of your answer? Next question. Which of these two countries has the largest population? South Africa or Vietnam? And how sure are you of your answer? Next two countries, Libya or Sri Lanka? And how sure are you? And next, Iraq or Tanzania? And how sure are you of your choice? Now, next set of questions, there are three of them. Which city has the largest or highest crime rate? First question, first choice, Detroit, Michigan or San Juan, Puerto Rico? Second choice, Manhattan, New York City, or Gary, Indiana? Now be sure to put your percent certainty after each question. How sure are you? If you're 90% sure, put 90. Next choice, San Francisco or Durham, North Carolina? And how sure are you of your answer? Okay. Now, I'm going to read out the correct answers, but before I do that, average together your percent certainty for all 10 questions, and you can eyeball that, or if you're out walking or something and listening on your MP3 player, then kind of guess at your average certainty, what it was, because you probably hit about around the same. You're all probably somewhere between 60 and 80% certain of your answer. So just average that out to be about 70 in your head, if that's the case. All right, let me give you the answers. Which of the following are the more frequent causes of death in the United States per 100,000? Choice between accidents or strokes? It's strokes by almost twice as much. Second, electrocution or asthma? The answer is asthma, by almost three times as much. Third, motor vehicle accidents or colorectal cancer? Well, it's colorectal cancer. And the country with the largest population, Morocco or Saudi Arabia? It's Morocco, 31 million to Saudi Arabia's 23 million. South Africa or Vietnam? It's Vietnam. Vietnam has 80 million, South Africa about 44 million. Iraq or Tanzania? It's Tanzania, 36 million to about 23 million in Iraq. What about the largest crime rate, highest crime rate? Between Detroit and San Juan, it's San Juan, Puerto Rico. Between Manhattan and Gary, Indiana, it's Gary, Indiana. How about that? Between San Francisco and Durham, North Carolina, it's Durham, North Carolina. All right, how many did you get correct? Well, if you picked up on the pattern here, you could see that along toward the end there that probably the most unlikely sounding answer was going to be the true answer, and you may have actually a higher score than you would have if you had actually guessed based on what you really think. However, check your percent correct out of the 10 questions. If you got 7, of course, that's 70%. Or if you got 5, that's 50%. Odds are, just by guessing, you'd get 50%. So now the question is, which is higher? Your percent of certainty, that is, the percentage you averaged earlier, how certain are you of your answers, or your percent correct? Now, when I do this in class, most people, the vast majority of people, are far more certain than they are correct. And in fact, when this is done with a group of subjects chosen at random, that is the case as well. People are far more certain than they are correct. This is called the overconfidence bias. And here's a problem. You know, 15, 20 years ago, it was thought that the main problem with almost anyone who had psychological issues was that they had a low self-concept. Well, there's no evidence to support that. The evidence, in fact, leans the other way. We tend to think more of ourselves than we probably deserve in almost every test that's given to people to measure this. I don't think that these tests necessarily prove or disprove, rather, that theory that low self-concept is a problem, but in every test, any way that we can measure it by this time and at this point, we seem to feel better about ourselves than we probably should, or at least have a higher opinion of ourselves, whether or not we feel better about ourselves. We certainly have a higher opinion of our knowledge than we probably deserve. So all these great people and many of our friends who sound so sure of what they are telling us might feel sure, but might not be right. So the overconfidence bias is the first one that we're talking about. And we'll talk about the others in later podcasts. But those of you who are my students, this is one of the issues that I want you to refer to on your final exam. I want to give thanks to Martin Bolt for this questionnaire and to his instructor's resources and also to Worth Publishers. For the use of this questionnaire. Thank you very much.